Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Scripture passage you'll see here on the screen is from the book of Ephesians, which is found a ways into the New Testament. You go past Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians, and you're going to find Galatians, and then you'll find Ephesians. If you're in Philippians or Colossians, back up just a little bit. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 3, and I would encourage you to have the Bibles open in front of you as we read it and as we study it for a few moments this morning. So Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. And before we read it this morning, I'm curious if your last couple of weeks have been anything like mine, in which there has been lots of presents to purchase, there's been lots of parties to plan, there's been lots of programs to prep for, and the calendar has been crammed full of all sorts of action and activity, which has felt like it could last, you know, it was just crammed in these few weeks, but it could have been for the whole year's worth crammed in these weeks. Yeah, does anybody else feel like that? It has been a lot. And sometimes when it's so much commotion is going on, when so many things are happening, it can be easy for us to begin to lose perspective about the meaning of this season that leads up to Christmas. Because we're in the midst of this Advent season. And even today, December 24, Christmas Eve, we're still in this Advent season. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent. And Advent, we've said here at Westview, is this interesting combination of yearning and anticipation, of longing for what God has promised, of what will be, because we're living in what is. And so we're longing for something, but we also have this great excitement at the same time, because we know that God has promised this great gift of Jesus at Christmas. And if I can be honest with you for a moment, apart from this time of worship, and especially apart from this time of studying God's Word, it has been hard for me to give ample time and space to reflect on the true meaning of this season. Have you felt that too? And so I've been so thankful for this sermon series. Well, we've been able just to take a deep breath, slow down, and reflect and hone in on what we're calling the heart of Christmas. Well, we've been able to journey with the themes of the Advent wreath, and we can rest in the fact that the heart of Christmas is hope for us. And that the heart of Christmas is this peace between us. And that the heart of Christmas is that joy that is within us. And today we're going to name and claim together that the heart of Christmas is love upon us. So would you join me, please, in reading our scripture passage together? This is Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3. I would invite you to follow along as we read these words that were written by the Apostle Paul and are here in this, the book that we love. Ephesians chapter 3, starting verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth under one head, even Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Amen. There's a lot going on there, yes? Let me assure you, you don't have to check your watches, you don't have to check your phones. It is indeed December 24. It is Christmas Eve. It is the fourth Sunday of Advent. And let me assure you, let me just get out ahead of this. No, it is not my idea of a fun time, a great time, to read and then preach one of the most theologically rich and thick passages in all of Scripture. I mean, can we just read that? Can we just read that together and say, yikes. There's a lot going on there, yes? I mean, this is a good passage, no doubt about it. There's so much good, there's so much important stuff in this passage, but you and I, we both know this is Christmas Eve. And believe me, I would probably feel way more comfortable this morning thinking about those presents under the tree and even the shopping I still need to do. I feel way more comfortable dreaming about a white Christmas, which I think we're going to have to dream this year, yeah? I'd even feel way more comfortable thinking about those wonderful Christmas cookies, which I did sample one yesterday. Very good. I mean, even in this passage, I feel way more comfortable thinking about some of those things in this passage than instead of this passage, because this passage, did you notice, this passage includes one of those theological doctrines, that those mind-bending ones. It used the word predestined twice in here. Which is one of the most confusing, but often one of the most misunderstood theological doctrines in all of Scripture. I mean, all of that is in here. I mean, who picked it? Mason, did you pick this passage this morning? No? You didn't either. That's okay. I did. I will take ownership. But friends, this is a good passage. And I do have one bit of good news. We are not going to dive into the depths of predestination this morning. Amen on that? If that disappoints you this morning, here's a little heads up for you. Come back in about 6 to 7 weeks. We're actually going to look at this exact same passage as a part of our Foundations for Our Faith series, and then we will dive into those waters, okay? Yay. Yes? But not this morning. Now, with all that said this morning, I'm being, you know, a little silly, a little facetious this morning. I do love this passage for many reasons. For so many good reasons. But this morning, I love this passage. And this morning, we did pick this passage. And we're studying this passage this morning for many reasons, but really for two words. In love. End of verse 4. You see them there? In love. Now, when we hear those two words, in love, that phrase together, it's not the kind of phrasing that we would use when we say that, well, I am in love with Heather. Which, let me be very clear, I am most definitely in love with Heather. I mean, we have been married now together 21 and a half glorious years. I do know how long. We're in love. But that's not how we read this phrase here in this passage. When we use the words here, in love, it's really to be understood as because of love or out of love. That in love is the cause, it is the catalyst for some sort of action. And we find in this passage that God, in love, because of love, God takes action. That in love, God, in love, because He loves you and me, God lavishes over us His goodness and His grace. That God, in love, because of love, out of love, He sends Jesus, which we'll say more about tonight. Here, Paul testifies that God, in love, because of His love for you and for me, God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's a loaded statement, isn't it? But He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. That means that these blessings are not earthly. They're not temporary. They're not something that's going to rot. It's not something that's going to decay or decompose. They're eternal, heavenly, spiritual blessings. And God has blessed us with every, not many, not a lot, not even most, but every spiritual blessing. Every blessing we could ask for, every blessing we could hope for, every blessing we could want, and more. Every blessing is ours in Jesus Christ. Don't miss that last part. Every blessing is ours in Jesus Christ, the source of the blessings that God gives to us. We could say it this way, the solution to all of our spiritual needs is found in Jesus. In love, through Jesus, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And so we're able to name this morning that the heart of Christmas is love upon us. And what we find in this passage is a summary of these spiritual blessings that we receive. For example, we see that in love, God chooses us. Look at verse 4 with me. For He, God, chose us in Him, in Christ, before the creation of the world. God chooses us. You ever play kickball at recess and you have two team captains and they pick sides? In the eternal game of kickball, God chooses you and me to be on His team. And He does so before He knows if we can kick the ball a quarter mile or not. It says before the world began to spin. Right? Before a single snowflake fell from the sky, before the first star showed its twinkle at twilight, God picked us, God chose us to be on His team, to be in His family. Verse 5, we get that little scary word for some, predestined. The word simply means marked out beforehand. It means to decide beforehand. And so for some of us, maybe this morning, as we're on our way to worship today, we decided beforehand, you know, let's go to early bird for lunch. Predestined. Not quite that simple. We'll say more about it in a couple weeks. But the emphasis here is not us. It's God's work. It's God's doing. It's God's action. God is the one at work. That is His pleasure, His will, His desire, His enjoyment, that in love He chooses us to be in His family. Paul uses another word. He uses the word adopted, or in some translations, adoption. And in that, he's using that word intentionally here. Here's the beautiful thing. Roman culture, right, the one that Paul is living in and writing in, you don't need me to tell you that Roman culture is very, very different than our world in the 21st century today. But there are some fantastic similarities. And this is one of them. That children that were adopted into a Roman home were afforded the same rights and privileges as biological children like they are today. And so Paul uses that word, I think, intentionally there. It's a word of comfort to his readers. It's a word of excitement that in love, we are God's children. We're adopted with the same rights and the same privileges as God's own son. Friends, if you hear nothing else this morning, I want you to hear this part. I want you to hear what we're talking about, that God, in love, He chose you. He picked you out of His free will for you to be His dearly beloved child. In love, God chose us. And in love, God redeems us. Jump down to verse 7 with me. Look at verse 7. It says, in Him, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. There's a lot of great verses in Scripture. This might be one of the most comforting. talking about redemption. One person once said that redemption is the foundation of God's work on behalf of humanity. What that's saying is that all of God's plans, all of God's work, all of God's action is pointing towards this one thing, that is our redemption. That this is what God is all about. He's all about our redemption because the reality is that we are dead in our sins. We are lost in our sins. You and I, the sins we commit, we are lost in. We live in a world that is stained with sin. We live in a world that from the very beginning of the fall of humanity, way back in Genesis 3, has been on a one-way road away from life and toward death. But God, in love, takes action. God sent Jesus to redeem fallen humanity, to restore our relationship with Him. God sent Jesus to recover that which has been lost. And by God's grace, Jesus was sent into this world and He died on that cross so that your sins and my sins could be forgiven. And then Jesus didn't just die, but He rose again and He defeated that which was deemed to be undefeatable. He defeated death itself. And so in love, God redeems us. Some of us have maybe heard this before. Maybe it's new. But some will say, you know, it wasn't the nails of that held Jesus to the cross. It was our sins. Have you heard that before? I want to counter that. I'm not that smart, so I'm sure I'm not the first person who has said this, but I would counter that today and say it this way. It wasn't our sins that held Jesus to the cross. It was God's love that held Jesus to the cross. So that in Jesus, you and I could have the forgiveness of sins and the promise of life everlasting, that you and I can be redeemed. In love, God redeems us. So that in love, God can invite us. God invites us. Jump down to verse 9 now in our passage. And He, God, made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Christ. Now in that verse, there's the word mystery. Mystery here isn't so much a secret as it is something that was just not known before, which then presumes there's a revealing. What was not known is now made known, as Paul says. And this revealing, Paul is saying, is God's big picture. His big picture purpose, that in Jesus Christ, what God is doing is He's bringing all things under the headship, under the name of Jesus. That God's pleasure, God's purpose, if we look at middle of verse 10, is to bring all things in heaven and all things in earth under one head, even Christ. And so what that's saying is that no matter age, no matter race, no matter ethnicity, no matter background, no matter all the things that you and I use to categorize and therefore at times divide, God's grand purpose is He's bringing all things under the headship of Jesus. And God invites you and me into that work. He made known the mystery to us. He let us in on the end game. He let us in on what He's doing. He let us in so that we can join Him, that we can use the gifts that we've been given, so we can fan into flame the passions He's instilled in us, so we can join Him in this work, and so that you and I can work at eliminating barriers and removing obstacles and destroying those things that divide. In love, God invites us to participate in this work. And in love, God seals us. Kind of a funny word, seals us. If we're here at Westview and we've been around Westview and we've witnessed a baptism before, we maybe have heard this blessing that we've used. When we get to the end of the baptism sacrament, we pronounce this blessing over the one being baptized, and we say it this way. We say their name and we say, "You've been sealed in the waters of baptism by the Holy Spirit and have been marked as Christ's own child forever." Sealed in the waters of baptism by the Holy Spirit. In baptism, we use water as this symbol of this promise that God is sealing us. But it's almost as if God was doing this. Let me give an illustration for us this morning. Denny, thanks for volunteering this morning to come on up here. Yeah, come on. Yeah, you volunteered to come on up, so please do come up. I would appreciate that. I don't need to bring Becky's purse. Just you. Just you. Okay. I don't know what goodies you have in there, but I got something for you this morning. So, all right, Denny, I'm going to have you stand right here, face the congregation this morning. We have to. I have to set this up for just a moment, but I'm going to give us a little time to do something. We need to imagine this morning. Okay. One thing's going to be really easy. The other one's going to be really hard to imagine. The first thing that's going to be really easy is we have to imagine you're you. Not that hard, right? The hard thing is that in a moment, you're going to have to imagine that I'm God. That's the hard part, okay? That's the hard part. So stand right there. I have to set this up for them before I'm ready for you, okay? So imagine Denny's Denny, and in a minute, I'm God, okay? But look at verse 13 with me in your passage. Paul writes that you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him, in Christ, with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So what Paul is saying there is that when someone hears the message, when someone hears the good news, God's work of redemption, when someone hears the gospel of our salvation and believes in it and accepts that good news, hearing and believing and professing with their mouth, when that's true of us, Paul says we are marked in Christ. It's as if God walks over to us and uses a Sharpie and writes his name on our foreheads. This is not a magic marker. This is not a dry erase. This is a Sharpie. And so I'm going to come over here like God would do and write my name on your forehead. Then, you okay with that?
Sure.
I didn't know if you would be or not. I will let you out of it, okay?
Okay, thank you.
But that is the example. Okay, thank you. That's all I needed to do this morning for. Thank you so much. You handled that so well, Denny. Yeah, thank you. You handled that better than I thought you would. That was fantastic. Thank you. But that's the image I want us to have in our minds. That's the image here, that a permanent marker, a Sharpie, all right? You ever had those big, fat Sharpies, right? I couldn't find those this week, but the big, fat ones. God writes his name and says, you belong to me, sealed in the Holy Spirit. The word here actually for sealed is actually a business term. It's actually a commercial term. It indicates a safely accomplished transaction. So what Paul is saying is that when we hear the word of truth, and when we believe the good news, the gospel of our salvation, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. It's saying that we are safely accomplished transaction from death to life. A safely accomplished transaction from death to glory. And the amazing thing here is that this sealing is just a deposit. It's like a down payment. Jump down to verse 14. The seal of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. That's a powerful word, guaranteeing. Not much in life these days can be guaranteed, right? Can't guarantee a white Christmas. Doesn't look like it's happening. We can't guarantee, even though we hold that package tonight or tomorrow or later this week, we hold that package and it looks like a PlayStation 5 game, it feels like a PlayStation 5 game, it has the weight of a PlayStation 5 game. We can't guarantee that that's what's in there until we open it, yes? We can't guarantee that no matter how far the Vikings are ahead in the fourth quarter that they're going to win the game. 14 points last week. Ugh. We can't guarantee much. But in love, God seals us with the Holy Spirit. It's a guarantee of what awaits us. And what awaits us is that inheritance for his chosen children, eternal glory in heaven. We are signed and we are sealed and someday delivered. Friends, isn't that comforting? That God takes a permanent marker and says, you're mine. And there is this promise, this guarantee of this inheritance that we are, that will never, ever, 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 ever go away. In love, God seals us. And so if we go all the way back to the beginning, and we start with those two words, in love. In love. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In love, out of love, because of His love for you and for me, everything we're talking about is ours in Christ. We are chosen. We're redeemed. We're invited. We're sealed because of God's love shown to us here at Christmas. Because God sends His Son into this world, the one through whom all these blessings are made possible. In love, God does this for you and for me. In love, God, Jesus came into this world so that God's love would gift us with everything we could ever hope for, everything we could want, everything we could ever need, and everything we could ever imagine. Friends, the heart of Christmas is love upon us. And I don't know what you think about that, but I'm amazed. I'm amazed at all of this. All because of two little words. In love. And friends, as I think about that, there's only one appropriate response from us, the recipients of this love. And it's how Paul opens our passage. Our response is how Paul opens this entire letter. He says, praise God. He says, praise God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Praise God, Paul says. Throughout this entire book, all six chapters of the book of Ephesians, Paul instructs the readers to praise God four times. Here's the crazy thing. All four times are in this passage. But maybe it's not that crazy, right? Because how could we not be instructed and be led to praise God when we think about what God has done for us in His love for us? That God has chosen us and has redeemed us and is inviting us and has sealed us. How else could we respond but then by offering ourselves, as it says, for the praise of His glory? And so, Wesley, that's what we're going to do the rest of our time together today. We're going to spend the next several minutes together in worship, praising God through songs. I love to sing Christmas songs. Do you too? I love singing Christmas songs. And this season, and in this moment, and in this morning, we're going to sing together. We're going to sing songs of praise to worship God for who God is and what God has done, for the praise of His glory, that He would be praised and that He would be glorified. Because indeed, praise God. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise Him. Because in love, He has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. Praise Him. Because the heart of Christmas is love upon us.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.